Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
The New York Yankees and their offseason, and the first chip to fall here, Trent Grisham accepting the qualifying offer, which makes my partner upset.
It does. It does, because I think that this is the potential, that's the operative word, but the potential domino that leads to a really bad Yankee offseason, and I'll tell you why. I do not think that they make the ultimate play for Tucker. Put him aside. They're not bringing Bregman in. Put him aside. I think the Yankees right now were basically banking on rolling this back with pretty much everything they had last year, hoping that Bellinger is still back. And I think he will be. But you've got to add to it, as you said before, not just lose something and then, you know, and then just kind of like add to something that you lost. You've got to add to what you already have to actually win a World Series. So I fear that the Yankees are looking at the return of Gerrit Cole as enough of a push forward to be a World Series champion. I don't see that. I don't feel that right now. I like their team. I think they'll be a playoff team. I think they'll be good, but there's just too many deficiencies. And now you're paying Grisham $22 million versus five? Let me ask you something. If he's hitting 190 like he usually does, are the Yankees going to sit him making $22 million? My answer is no.
I would think they would. They have to.
But they haven't done that enough in the past with the guys like the Hickses and the DJ. So I'm just concerned. Number one, I think they severely misread this. Everybody but them. You know, like everybody was saying, he's not going to sign that. So they basically threw this out there, rolled the dice, and got burned because they were worried about some stupid compensatory pick. I don't care about picks.
But most people do think that. I was talking to that industry source. Remember, I was talking yesterday. I just wanted to
same guy.
Yeah,
same person.
It is a guy. Yeah, and it's not Andy Martino. I mean, some people online are just so.
Is that what
stupid.
They always say every time you say I spoke to somebody? It's Andy. Could you work with them?
By the way, if you actually listened to the clip yesterday that when we were talking about this, I was talking about an industry source and what he was saying that he believes that's going to happen with Alonso.
Yeah.
I couldn't have said it any softer on the clip that they posted. And I did that purposely because people, they just lack comprehension. They hear what they want to hear. They don't listen to the whole segment. They take things for what they want. And still, some people had an issue with that. I was not reporting anything. I said, quote, it isn't gospel. I'm just talking to somebody in the industry. If it is like, oh, Sal's making it up. Okay, you moron.
And by the way, you think I had an easy day with the Cam Scadaboo stuff? Whose side do you think everybody took yesterday? I mean, you know,
I didn't see that. I thought people were.
No, they tough. Of course, they're going to go with their boy Cam, which of course I get. And I didn't say anything that was, you know, below board. I just don't think he should have done it. But of course, I'm saying all the Cam defenders. You don't think my thing was blowing up yesterday?
Even that was said in a soft manner.
Of course it was.
In comparison to some of the other things we said.
Anyway, by the way, what industry is he in? You didn't say. You said he's in from the industry.
He's in the financial sector.
Come on, any industry.
He's in the porn industry.
I go, what do you think of Grisham accepting? He said, dumb of him. career year, then free agency again during a CBA negotiation, which is what we were talking about. He said not going to go well for him.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, I bet Yanks were surprised too. Might try to trade him, but more likely stuck. Just to give you some perspective, like I do think widely most people assumed, hey, there's no way he's going to take 1 year. He'll never be in a better spot to cash in than he is right now. Why would he take 1 year, $22 million?
I don't get it. You know, it's a real miscalculation, in my opinion. On the market and what is around the corner for baseball in terms of finances for 2027 and beyond, and just looking at his deficiencies, and I don't think he'll ever button those up. He's never going to hit lefties. He's never going to be anything on the bases. He's never going to be a high contact player. Yeah, I mean, he ran into 34 bulls, and he's got pop. Like, when you give him something to handle, he's going to crush it, but that's pretty much all he does.
Point is, there's no way the New York Yankees would let $22 million get in the way of what should be a big offseason. Now, if you want to tell me that your feeling was, you know, you weren't sure they were going to go all in this offseason anyway, understood. We could disagree on that, where I look at this team and say they have to get better. Can't just be relying on Cole to come back, relying on the younger guys to be a little bit better,
yep,
bringing back the same group, rolling the dice, and, hey, we got unlucky against the Blue Jays because we lost the division on the tiebreaker. Had we had those games at home, maybe it would have been a different story. That would be the wrong thought process. I have to believe that the Yankees DON, Department of Nerds, and everybody else over there is much smarter than that to rely on what they had last year. And I can't imagine that Trent Grisham's $22 million. Okay, it's a lot for him, but I can't imagine that's going to hold up their entire offseason.
Just before we move forward, define all in, because I never thought the Yankees would go all in this year. I thought they'd be aggressive, and I still do. But what is, for this offseason, what's your definition of all in for the Yankees?
Improving the ball club. And I'm not even talking about spending a lot of money. It doesn't just mean, we'll go get this guy, we'll go get that guy. Looking at the structure of the ball club and making it better, meaning risking trading some of the young guys away. You have to do that. Go get, for me, it will be Kwan, and now you have a leadoff hitter, which is something the Yankees have not had. The DON doesn't believe in leadoff hitters. They just believe in the analytics, and you can plug anybody in there in front of Judgy. So I want to see a different lineup with the Yankees, a different structure, pieces that fit better, whether it's moving on from Stanton, whether it's cleaning up the gluttony of DHs, whether
a lot of lefties,
moving on from Jazz, exactly, or McMahon. I'm not just saying, well, go play checkbook baseball.
Go get Tucker, go buy this guy. Okay,
Bregman, I got you. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I understand what you're saying. So now, with that being, I just want to define those parameters. Okay, now let's just go around and give me a quick yes or no.
Yeah.
You think Ben Rice is playing first base opening day?
Man, that's a great question. Probably.
Okay, so do I. You think Jazz is playing second base opening day?
Probably.
So do I. You think Caballero is playing shortstop opening day as Volpe heals?
Probably.
So do I. You think McMahon's a starting third baseman opening day?
That one I'm not so sure on. Okay. I mean,
I definitely do, but...
Dude. Okay, but then if that's the case, then where are they changing? Because they're not.
But this is my fear. Now let me finish. Do you think Wells is the opening day catcher?
Probably.
Okay. Okay. Do you think Grisham's the starting center fielder? The answer is absolutely yes. What do you mean?
Well,
what do you
think? I think that's the layup. I think Bellinger's coming back.
Okay.
Well, so where, okay, if I believe Bellinger's coming back and...
Well, you're going to sit him on the bench, Grisham? He's going to play center field.
And then what? Bellinger's playing left?
Probably.
And then you're the same team.
That's what I'm saying.
It can't. There's no
way. Listen. Over the years that it's been a couple now that you and I have been together, I have always been a little more overly optimistic on what I thought the Yankees would do. And while I liked Plan B in real, like at the beginning, I liked it in real time, ultimately came a little short, but I did think the Yankees addressed weaknesses, defense, base running, and maybe with a little more luck in Gerrit Cole, maybe they would have gotten to the World Series. We'll never know. But this offseason, based on the first domino that fell yesterday, my confidence is rocked here. That was the wrong thing.
Yeah, when you lay it out like that with all those different players. But even if Grisham weren't here, so that would be my counter as to why I don't think the Grisham thing is such a big deal. Even if Grisham weren't here, you could still go around all those questions you just asked me, and they still would probably be the same answer.
No, because then maybe if you take the 22 off the board, now maybe there is a discussion. You know what? We're bringing Belly, and we're going for Tucker. We're bringing Belly, and we're signing Bregman. I think the $22 million will dissuade them from doing that.
But you could now have, put it this way, you can now have Bellinger play a little outfield when needed, also be your primary first baseman, Not a bad option when you bring him back.
Yeah, I like that option.
And still get Tucker or Kwan.
I don't see Tucker here under any circumstances.
Okay, but then it's got to be Kwan. And now if you do, that changes everything. Because now you could have Kwan in left.
Yep.
Bellinger in the outfield as needed. Your primary first baseman as well.
I'm listening.
Grisham in center.
I can handle that with that scenario.
Exactly. You're less reliant. So this scenario still works with Bellinger back, which bare minimum they have to do that, and either Kwan, who I would prefer, or Tucker. That still makes them better.
Okay, I'm going to grant you that. My fear is that with the move yesterday, they now have to be perfect the rest of the offseason, and I'm not so sure that they will be.
BT and Sal and the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Mike is calling from Manalapan. What's up, Mike? Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's up? What's up, Sal and Brandon? How's everything, buddy?
Good? Yeah, not bad.
What's going on, man? We're good. Go ahead.
Well, let me tell you something. I think Cashman got caught with his pants down
yep.
here. For a lousy draft pick? For a lousy draft pick? I mean, what are we doing here for a draft? Prospects are suspects here. I would trade these prospects. We've sat with Dominguez and Spencer Jones. Now you sign Grisham. In a hypothetical, you go out and go get, you re-sign Bellinger. He's been hyping Spencer Jones and Dominguez for the last 3 years. What does that tell the rest of MLB? Oh, you have no faith in them. We're going to give you nothing. Because the problem with Cashman is he holds on to these rookie prospects like they're freaking Bitcoin. And you know what they wind up being? The dot-com stocks from the 1990s, man.
I remember
this
those.
This is the problem with this clown, okay? This is what keeps going on and on and on. Can we just once, forget about Spencer Jones, dude, because he's 25 years old already. You know, he's like one of these guys that's in a gap year in college and he's still there. And he's never going to the pros, period. Because if he was this good, he would have been up already. Dominguez, we've already gotten a taste of Dominguez already. I saw a great taste 3 years ago before he got hurt. So can we give this guy half the opportunity that we've given Volpe for the last 2.5 years? And I don't want to hear that Volpe is hurt. Forget about being hurt. What did he do the 2 years prior? He did nothing. Nothing. You know what, Sal? You had a great point. And I've been talking about this with a bunch of my buddies. Maybe the right thing to do is maybe move Volpe over to second base. Because Chisholm will tell you how great he is, but he reminds me of the guy from Willie Mays Hayes. He may run like Hayes, but he's like,
hit like,
I mean, come on here. What are we
good
doing?
Call, Mike.
We are the freaking Yankees. We are the freaking Yankees. Are we all in? Let's go get Steens. Package all these guys. Lombard, LeGrand, Rodriguez, Spencer Jones, Cunningham. Package them all. I'll drive them to Newark myself. I mean, enough already.
I don't think...
We're the freaking Yankees, man. Act like it.
There you go, Mike.
Period. End of story. I'm tired of it. Thanks, fellas.
We could tell. Thank you, Mike,
great
for the
call. Mike. Money.
We appreciate the passion. I think a lot of what Mike was saying there is true, too. We talk about building the ball club and whatever they would do, but the Yankees were heavily reliant on the young players. We talked about that going into the season last year. Too reliant on the young players. And almost all of them underperformed the lofty expectations. You can't do that again and expect a different result.
I got to swerve for a second here. Yeah. So he mentioned penny stocks, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'll never forget this, dude. I am living in Vegas, and it's my second radio job, and I guess I'm still doing updates, like hosting on the weekend, whatever, just working my way up. I'm in my 20s. And I had bought a few penny stocks like a sucker. And keep in mind, my sister's a financial analyst.
I don't know what they are, penny stocks.
I don't know if it was a scam. I don't want to speak out of turn, but nothing happened, right? Long story short, I've got this little teeny portfolio at this point, and I think I bought $100 of penny stocks. And I'm checking every day because my buddies are like, oh, it's going to hit. I'm checking every day, like, feverishly. And in between updates, I'm in this little studio in Vegas, and it spits back to me, not my fault, the decimal was in the wrong place. It was a digital mistake.
Error.
It says now I made $10
million. $10
million? $10 million. I called my sister up. I go, I hit it. whatever the hell I'm yelling. She goes, you are out of your mind. She goes, you're an idiot. She said, let me just confirm. I'll call you right back. It's again, it's a financial analyst. Calls me back in a minute. She's like, no, it was some. I think I remember KKRS. What was the symbol? I could even whatever it was. I made no money, but I thought I was a millionaire 10 times over.
That's the problem,
dude. Living in Vegas, I was in my 20s. I'm like, I'm never leaving again.
Thinking that you had it, and then to find out
in 30 seconds, I spent it all in my mind.
That's a life changer right there. Anyway, back to the Yankees young guys. Yes. I don't think that they can rely on that again. Whether it's Wells, Rice, Dominguez, Volpe, Spencer Jones, it hasn't worked. The Yankees, twofold. A, haven't built a good enough ball club. The pieces just don't fit. B, haven't drafted and developed the way that you need to have success, to have those players complement the higher priced players. It just has not worked. I'm sorry, BT. Their counter is going to be, we won 94 games. But we all know the
reality. Not my counter anymore. Yeah, I stopped saying that. Many of us did. We're tired of it. That's it. You know, I think common sense has to prevail here. Like, if they really believed in Spencer Jones, you think they're signing Grisham? I mean, if they really, truly, truly believed in Jason Dominguez, would they not allow him to hit righty last year? So these are the signs that you have to acknowledge. Now, I mean, the reality on Spencer Jones is, dude, he's 25 years old. Mm. He played at Vanderbilt. You get out of college. Now, I know you know, most of you know this, but you can't get drafted until after your junior year, unlike college basketball. Got to play 3 years in college baseball. So by the time he was in the Yankees system, he was already 21-ish, a couple of years, 25. So is he really truly an uber prospect, or is he just now trans? I don't think that he is.
If I had to pick one, now I haven't seen Spencer Jones. I know obviously about his history in the minor leagues, but if I had to pick one to bet on, I would still bet on Dominguez.
But, so would I.
But maybe other teams would too, and say that I'd rather take the chance on Dominguez. You know, if you're the Guardians, give me Dominguez, I'll give you Kwan or something.
Yeah,
like
I thought you were going to go the other way, because I like Dominguez more than you, but I thought you were going to say Jones because there's more allure in the unknown versus maybe what you already have seen.
Maybe, but I just would take everything into account where a year ago the guy was considered a bust, not to mention his age. I can't trust that. Dominguez still has a skill set that can be worked with.
Stole 20-something bases last year, Dominguez.
My issue with Dominguez is that the Yankees screwed him up. You should have kept him in the minors to let him, get this, develop. That's what you're supposed to do. Develop in the minors. And then when they perform down there consistently, catch the ball, hit the ball from both sides of the plate, then you call him up and bring him to the minors. So it would just be a different thought process. They're trying to make players, it's not just him, other players as well, learn at the big league level. How's it worked for Volpe? I mean, it hasn't.
He's gone backwards.
You're right, but you could say, well, and they have said this, well, at least he's a gold glove defender. Well, you know what? Give me the other shortstops that can hit 20 home runs or steal 20 bases.
I hear you.
And I look at it and say, yeah, but he was supposed to be a better player, and you could have developed him better had you had him really, you know, learn in the minor leagues before you called him up to the big leagues and gave him the job.
You know what, Sal? And I have said this a few times. I think in the case of Anthony, I just think he was overdrafted. I think that if he's a sixth-round pick or a ninth-round pick or a fourth-round pick, and maybe even if he's not from Jersey, maybe it's a different evaluation because he has done some good things. Now, this is the time where it's either, you know, you got to move on after this year or you commit a little bit more to Anthony Volpe. But, you know, Volpe, to me, is different than Rice. Like, to me, Ben Rice has already distinguished himself as a plus hitter that I think is going to be around for a long time. Whether or not he can handle first base, we'll see. I think he can eventually become average. We'll see. He can hit the hell. I love the way he hits. So I'm high on Rice. I'm higher on Dominguez than you. I don't know anything about Jones except what I've been told, that they are very worried about his strikeout rate. And so there's a lot of things that we're trying to interpret here, but and that's the problem. Like, we should have more answers on the young players. If we're still saying, well, maybe, or could he, or he might, doesn't that kind of tell you what the player is already? You know what I mean? Like, it kind of answers the question to an extent.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win, and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at Bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Some off-season interesting thing happened yesterday in baseball.
In baseball.
And that is Trent Grisham accepting that qualifying offer.
Okay.
No.
Like,
what?
Like we knew he was going
no,
to.
No. We didn't necessarily because
it's $22 million.
Hold on a second, though. We didn't necessarily think he was because I don't think Brian Cashman thought he was. So if Brian Cashman didn't think that he was, then we didn't know that he was. I think it was a really smart move on his part. I would have done the same thing. $22 million for 1 year, especially with the lockout looming in the distance. But I don't believe that Brian Cashman thought that, you know, a lot of these qualifying offers are given to these guys hoping that they don't take it so they get the compensatory pick. That's what the whole point of it is. So what's interesting about it is now you got this $22 million on the books with a guy who had an outlier year, and you've got not a lot of room with the next level of the luxury tax for the Yankees to add. And they got to bring Bellinger back. So this was an interesting one yesterday for the Yankees. And I don't think it's the worst thing in the world that he's coming back. You know, C-Mac on Yankees Hot Stove this morning was killing it, like screaming about how terrible it was. I don't think it's that bad. It's a one-year commitment. But if it does hold them back from going to get another player, they're out on Kyle Tucker because of that, or they can't go the extra mile with Bellinger because of it, then it's a problem. But hopefully it's not what happens.
You know, I just think if you're Trent Grisham, and you have your outlier year. He did bat only .235, but he did have 34 home runs. And you had your best year. You're in the lineup with Aaron Judge and Cody Bellinger. You're going to want to stay here. I mean, and there's nobody out there, unless there's somebody out there that would have offered him, let's say, 3 years, maybe $50 million.
Yeah, which
then I could understand why you would opt out. But maybe his agent, and I'm not sure who his agent is, said, look, we don't have those type of offers. I'm not getting those type of sniffs right now.
Yeah.
So you'd be better off to just accept the $22 million, play in the Yankee lineup, and maybe, you know, if things go haywire for the Yankees, they trade him at the trade deadline. Nobody's trading for the Yankees and helping out the Yankees. So that's for sure. I mean, he's going to be your center fielder. And, you know, I think you got to remember it. So they also have Gerrit Cole coming back this year.
Yep.
So that is kind of like what Ohtani was for the Dodgers. You know, he was a player and he was stealing bases and hitting home runs. Obviously, Gerrit Cole doesn't do that, but he also is a top-end pitcher for the Dodgers and one of the reasons why they went and won the World Series again this year because he was able to do that. Bringing Gerrit Cole back, bringing Bellinger back, having Trent Grisham for one more year – you know, you're counting on your starting pitching staff to be one of the best in baseball next year.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, of course, the hope. But I
guess the other thing, too, is Ryan McMahon at third base.
Yeah.
They got another year there, so he disappointed offensively for sure. Defensively, he was,
you know, he solidified the defense for the Yankees in the infield.
I mean, I guess what the argument would be against Grisham coming back is what I mentioned before about the $22 million and hamstringing you with other players. But also, now what you're saying is if you bring Bellinger back, which everybody expects they're going to be make sure that he stays. It's not a lock, but it's going to be a huge priority. Essentially, you're now bringing back the same team. Now, I don't know what they're going to end
with Gerrit Cole.
Well, right, with Gerrit Cole coming back. But the same starting eighth is what you're going to have, depending on whether or not they keep Anthony Volpe at shortstop or they decide to go.
These are all the questions that will be answered by the time.
But outside of that, it's like the same team. So it's like, now you're just saying that the missing piece, you're going to bring the whole squad back and the missing piece is Gerrit Cole and you're going to go win
the
World Series?
That's part of it. And obviously got to make sure the bullpen is. I thought the bullpen was decent last year. I don't see why you would change much of it. But I think Devin Williams, you know, turned out to be a pretty good Yankee, if you ask me.
Well, I mean, it was a miserable start, but he got the job done later in the season. And, yeah, ended on a really, really high note. So, yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to get all worked up over, like, what a player did, like Trent Grisham. He did what he should have done for him and his family. That's all there is to it. The baseball rules are there for a reason, and he played within the rules. He's not doing anything wrong. He's doing everything.
No, nobody's saying that he is.
I mean, but, obviously, listen to the station. You can hear Yankee fans. I can't believe this. Why did Brian Cashman do that? I mean, Jesus.
Well,
I'll
tell you why he did it. I mean, he did it because he thought there was going to be a market for Trent Grisham. And because he came off this year and he's thinking, this is great. We brought in Trent Grisham, didn't pay him anything. Now he's going to leave in free agency and we can get a pick out of it because he's going to decline this qualifying offer and someone's going to sign him for, you know, 3 years and what you said, $50 million. And he didn't. He accepted the $22 million.
And it also now stunts the growth of Jason Dominguez.
Which is a possibility.
Which is a possibility as well. But he is a solid defensive outfield center fielder. He is. And I still say that, you know, when Bellinger's out there, he's out there, and Judge is out there, that's one of the best outfields in baseball. It is. It just is. And when you look at offensive production and defensive metrics, which I was checking out the other day.
Were you?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, run prevention?
I don't know. I just heard Brandon screaming about something, so.
Yeah, run prevention.
Or whatever. He loves numbers, man. That guy loves numbers.
Oh, he does. We've heard him before rattle off a lot of numbers in a row.
Numbers, more numbers. And I was like, my head was spinning. And I felt like the metric numbers defensively and run prevention were pretty strong.
K-right rate, whiff rate.
92nd percentile average exit velo, 85% hard hit rate, 95% squared up rate, 92% chase rate, 95% walk rate, 84% K-right rate, 86% fielding run value, and 95% range. His whiff rate and his K-rate is still 88th percentile and 92%. I'm looking at his spray chart going oppo.
Yeah, there it was. All of that.
You know, he should go work for the Yankees. He should be like an analytic guy for the Yankees.
I mean, him and Aaron Boone apparently have a good relationship. Calls him Booney. Texts a little bit with him. Mentions that on the show, so maybe. K. Wright rate.
You know, how many punchies does he have? That's what I want to know.
By the way.
Hard hit rate is a big thing, too.
Sure. Frankie Montas is officially gone.
Yeah, okay, good.
What a disaster. I mean, if you're David Stearns, do you hear that name? Like, you want to ruin David Stearns' day?
Yeah.
You say Frankie Montas.
Mm-hmm. What? And now, all of a sudden, you have, like, industry sources wondering what David Stearns' plans are and whether or not they align with Steve Cohen's.
Oh, come on. Of course they do.
So that's industry sources are saying that now.
Industry sources.
Welcome to New York.
Yeah.
Where industry sources, you know, may have an impact.
You know, the baseball offseason does suck, but I there were things that actually did happen yesterday. The Grisham thing does affect the Yankees offseason. The Montas thing does affect the Mets offseason, but it does suck. I mean, it does. We wait here, we wait here,
oh,
we wait here.
Oh, and by the way, Kodai Senga can be had in trade.
Which, I don't know, like.
What is he worth right now?
Who's pitching for the Mets next year?
Well, this is why, you know, industry sources say they're not sure about what David Stearns is doing. I know Nolan McClain's going to be out there.
Yeah. And hopefully Brandon Sprague's going to be out. But like Kodai Senga drives me nuts. I would not be opposed to trading him at all.
Well, he's available according to industry sources.
Industry sources?
Yeah, well, good. Jesus.
I don't know what the hell
you're going to
get for him at this point. It's almost like you'd rather roll the dice for him to have another really good season for you as opposed to trade him for nothing.
Trade him to the Dodgers. Then you get have Kodai Senga, Yamamoto, and Shohei all on the same team.
And Roki Sasaki.
And Roki Sasaki, too, yeah.
And maybe...
maybe he would feel more comfortable in that situation.
Yeah. He's never comfortable, that guy. Every time we hear from him, it's like, I'm not ready, I'm not right, I don't feel right. I don't feel like I can compete.
Well, at least he's being honest.
My stamina's not up. A lot of guys
go out there and try to do it, like Frankie Montas. They try to go out there and do it, and next thing you know, Tommy John surgery, here we go. And by the way, like Frankie Montas wasn't going to pitch for the Mets anyway.
No, he was out, but yeah. it's just having to, and hopefully they can collect insurance.
They just open a roster spot for some speedy young guy that I've never heard of.
Yeah, it's just that, bring him in. He's got a history injury. He's terrible for you. Gets hurt. You have to cut him because he's going to miss the entire year. You got to eat the money. It's just like, ugh.
Well, it's part of it. It's part of the sport.
It's part of it, man.
Thank God those players get all their money when they get hurt.
That is true.
It takes them a while to get to the point where they can make some money. But when they do make the money, it is guaranteed.
You know, Al, are you rooting for a lockout, a work stoppage in 2026?
Yes, sir.
You are rooting for that?
Yeah, I am.
I thought you might be.
Well, why? You just...
Because it's stupid, the amount of money that's being tossed around, that it doesn't make any sense. So I'm hoping for a work stoppage.
Yeah, well, you know, and then, you know, it's amazing that the owners can't get their acts together, so they want to go to the players and try to get the players to give up something so the owners don't kill themselves. You know, and you have the Pirates now all of a sudden, oh, we're in on Schwarber. Yeah, okay. Yeah, come on. I mean,
they did that with somebody else a couple of years ago.
Well, the whole thing is about whether or not Paul Skeens is souring on the organization.
Says he wants to be a Yankee, apparently. He's telling teammates he wants to be a Yankee.
Doesn't everybody want to be? Well, no, not everybody. A lot of people want to be Dodgers.
Yeah. Juan Soto didn't want to be a Yankee.
No.
He's one of the guys who didn't.
That's right. He wanted to be a Met.
That's right. Because their farm system was so great. That's what it was. Because their future was so bright. That's why Juan Soto wanted to be a Met. Had nothing to do about the extra dollars and the suite for his family and everything else.
Speaking of wanting to be a Met, Pete Alonso wants to be a Met.
Yeah. And the Mets claim that they want him. Back.
Even though run prevention is a little bit shoddy.
Yeah. You know, could be, maybe feels like Red Sox for Pete Alonso.
Okay. Mm. Red Sox are in on Pete Alonso, just like the Pirates are in on Kyle Schwarber.
No, I think a little bit more so the Red Sox are in a Pete
Alonso.
Where is
the this Hall of Fame player in waiting, Kyle Tucker, going?
Oh, the Dodgers.
Oh, he's going to go to the Dodgers now?
Probably, yeah. He's either going to stay with the Cubs or go to the Dodgers. He's not coming to the Mets. He's not coming to the Yankees.
What about the Giants? What are the Giants doing? They got so much money out there. What are they doing?
I don't know. I mean, they've lost out on so many players. And I think you hear that people don't want to live there. Players don't want to live in San Francisco. It's just like something they don't want to do.
They don't want to pay the taxes.
Well, also, again, it's just going down the tubes, you know?
Well, you know, we could be right on the heels of that. You know what I mean?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bill Sims, 11 at 11. That'll be fun. We haven't talked to him in probably since last year, right?
I think. Yeah. I was actually texting him about a month or so ago about something not relating to this business, something else. Phil's the best, man.
Yeah, I love
him. He's awesome, and he's going to let it rip, and there's a lot to let it rip about with the Giants.
I've always been a fan of his, not just as a player, but his personality doing games. I loved listening to him last year with Boomer and Gio, so it was great to have him on. Looking forward to talking with Phil.
He got screwed. When he was with Nance, he was great with Nance.
Now, wasn't he with Gumbel as well, though?
I
don't know.
I thought Phil's better than Tony. I'm kind of tired of Romo, actually. Give me Phil back.
I love Phil in the booth. I don't know you get a bad rap a little bit. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Corey is calling from Edison about his Yanks. What's up, Corey?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
So I don't hate the Grisham move yet, but I'm with you, BT. If it's just Bellinger, then we have serious problems. Mm-hmm. And to me, the move is Bregman, because I say that because you can play him at short while Volpe heals, and then you slide him over to third, trade McMahon once Volpe's back. So I think that's just a perfect fit, and he obviously enhances the lineup tremendously.
Well, think about this, Corey. From a baseball point of view, I'm not going to disagree. I mean, Bregman is clutch. Mm-hmm. He can play third. He's a winner. He fit in perfectly, no doubt. But do you think the Yankees are going to have the appetite for a 5 or 6 year contract for Bregman? I don't.
Yeah, so I would say no. I wonder if this lockout changes things. I think people are saying, they'll be more aggressive, try to get in these big deals right before the lockout. So, mm-hmm. Maybe they have a little bit more aggressive than they showed, the last 10, 15 years. But, that's what I'm hoping for. Okay. I'm hoping that's not just Bellinger and that's it.
I think he might go to the Mets over the Yankees personally, Bregman.
Yeah, I can't, and thanks for the call, I can't also just focus on the free agents. The Yankees need to make some trades here. Both the Mets and Yankees need to do that. But talking about the Yankees here specifically, they need to make some trades. My biggest priority, aside from bringing Bellinger back, which I think is an obvious one, you got to bring him. Same thing I said about Soto last year. I know it's a different story because of how much money he got. But the same thing applies now. You don't want to start losing players and then try to rebuild it. Yankees went to the World Series. They lost arguably their best player. Obviously, I know how great Judge was, but I'm factoring in postseason. They lost one of their two best players in Soto and then had to go to Plan B and rebuild it. And you saw what happened. While it was a nice team, it wasn't better than it was the year before, and the results certainly weren't better. Now, I have a hard time thinking that they were good and won 94 games and got to the postseason. You're going to lose Bellinger, and that who was arguably one of your best players, and then get better.
Yeah.
To get better, you have to stay the same first,
yes,
and then add on then top add to of that.
Yeah, but that's what worries me about. I mean, are they internally sitting there saying, well, we're going to have Gerrit Cole for about 27, 28 starts? Now, I can understand that point of view to an extent. Like, if the Yankees had 27 starts last year from Gerrit Cole, I think they win the division because they tied with Toronto. They just lost out on the tiebreaker. So even if he wasn't vintage Cy Young, basically generational Gerrit Cole last year, but just good Gerrit Cole, they probably win the division, which maybe changes things in their mind. I don't know. I'm looking at contract. Let me hit you with this real fast, right? So I've got Newsweek, Baseball America, The Athletic, NBC Sports, And something else from Newsweek. This will be quick. Contract predictions for Bregman. 6 years, 182. 6 years, 180. 6 years, 175. 6 years, 168. 6 years, 160. Mm-hmm. 6 years, 150. The consensus being 6 years and the average about 172 to 173 mil. You think the Yanks are doing that? I don't.
But why
Plus
not?
Bellinger?
Why not?
Because they haven't done that forever.
No, I wouldn't need that if it's Bellinger plus Kwan, let's say, or a trade where maybe I'd like to move on from Jazz and get a... Well, why couldn't they trade Jazz and maybe get a right-handed hitting third baseman? You know what I'm saying? Just get creative. Yeah. And then even then you could think about maybe Volpe to second and maybe see if you could figure out something, whether it's Caballero, whether it's Lombard. I don't know if he's going to be ready.
He's not going to be ready
Cashman
yet.
Said not at all not this yet. Year.
Not at all. He's not going to be. He's not making the
not
team.
Even middle of the season?
That wasn't ruled out, but the expectation but the is that he's going to play the entire season.
I'm just
in the
thinking, trying to get creative here where... You need the pieces to fit the puzzle mm-hmm. much better than they currently do.
Yes.
I mean, it's very simple.
Yes, they do.
You've got all these DHs we talk about it. Rice has his limitations. You know about Stanton. You now have Grisham back in the mix. You got Dominguez, who's limited. Spencer Jones, where's the room for him if you're going to bring Bellinger back? McMahon, who is a very good defensive third baseman, he can't hit. He's also a lefty. Volpe wasn't very good last year. He's even hurt to start the year. So now you're going with a bench player to be your everyday starter at shortstop. A guy at second base that puts up good numbers but isn't a winning player,
mm-hmm.
you've got problems all over the place.
That's why I'm worried.
I know, but
that's
but
why I'm pushing back.
I could understand that, but I would expect that they all, I mean, I hope that they also see this and realize that they have to have a big offseason.
But here's
here.
The thing, even if Cashman does see this, and I'm sure he sees some of what we're saying, will Hal consent to allow him to follow through on what he sees?
Sal is in Brooklyn. What's up, Sal?
Sally.
What's going on, boys? Hoping all is well, man.
No.
BT, straight up, I'm with you on this. First of all, Sally, how can somebody like that caller before? We could use him as a fourth outfielder. He made $5 million last year. You just increased his salary fourfold.
Yep.
He's not a $22 million ball player. That's my problem, front and center. You want to bring him back? Let him walk. You're worried about a draft pick for Grisham? Come on, you're the Yankees. Let that go, man. He ain't a $22 million player. And now you hamstring yourself. You go get that Japanese third baseman, or maybe Bregman, and then you bring Bellinger without sweating it, because $22 million from Grisham, and the $12 million that you had for the first base Goldschmidt that you let go, you're not even sweating bringing somebody back, man.
Yeah.
But now you're bringing me the guy for $22 million.
But Sal, here's the point. I'm not disagreeing with that thought process. This is still the New York Yankees. If they're gonna let 1 year, $22 million prevent them from going big in the offseason, then there's no point to even having the conversation.
Sal, it's not 1 year, because they're still picking up LeMahieu's money this year, $15 million. You got $32 million laying for a third baseman who can't hit, and you got $22 million on a guy who's a .217 lifetime hitter. These guys are garbage, man. They're not constructed
Sal,
go deep in the playoffs. That's all I'm saying.
Sal from Brooklyn. Here's the thing, too. It's not just 1 year of money at $20-plus million for a guy that I don't believe is worth it based on the deficiencies. It's also another year where you don't get answers on Dominguez or Jones. That's the other problem.
Well, maybe they have their answer on either of those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. And maybe internally they've already decided but I don't know how they can come to that answer with the limited runway they gave Dominguez and Jones never seeing a pitch in the majors. If that's the case, then I wouldn't agree with that early assessment, but they very well might have that assessment.
Would you agree that they need to trade at least one of those two?
They have to at this point. Oh, yes, okay. Yes, they do.
Good God.
Yes.
You have to. So identify which one for whatever reason. Maybe it's because the Guardians want one over the other. Whatever. You identify, hey, Dominguez at this point, we'd rather have the potential of Spencer Jones. Either way, one of those guys needs to be moved. That would mean that you're going to get a pretty good piece coming back that may fit you better. Maybe it's for a second baseman, third baseman. I have no idea. I'm just thinking Kwan because I want a left fielder. But if you don't get Kwan, then it should be one of the other. Maybe it's Spencer Jones in center or left, and then you could move around with Grisham, and Grisham could be insurance in case of one of the young guys don't live up to the expectations. I just don't think it's this 1 year, $22 million for a player who was productive last year and can be very useful at a time where there aren't good center fielders. He's a more than capable, whether he's declining or not.
He's definitely capable. Okay, I'm not going to push back on that.
More than capable center fielder. You have him for 1 year, $22 million. I just think it could be a useful piece that should not really significantly impact what you do the rest of the offseason.
And as this goes on, Judge's clock is ticking. Cole's clock is ticking. I mean, you know, They're not getting younger, these guys.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll take a break from the baseball talk, although we'll still take your calls next hour. But when we return, Phil Sims will join us. We'll talk some Big Blue and go around the NFL a little bit with Philby on the other side.
Yes, that lion forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town.
Sir, 201 on the Fan. McMonigle here with you as we got you for the next 3 hours. We take you to the warm-up show at 5. We got Fleegs on the other side taking your phone calls at 888-808-1019 right here on this Wednesday morning. As we got a little baseball injected into our lives yesterday with, to me, undoubtedly, we'll get to the Mets. We'll get to the idea that Nimmo could be on the move, McNeil could be on the move. You just heard Montas, which Fleeks just whispered to me, hopefully is the worst move that Stearns ever makes. And hopefully it is. But we got plenty of Mets to get to, but we have to start with the New York Yankees. And Brian Cashman in specific, because I know I'm the Cashman chill. I know I never criticize him, and I can see it already. I can see the calls rolling in saying he's the worst GM of all time and the Yankees have no chance to win a World Series without him, and me pushing back and getting off of this idea that today he messed up. Because that's the truth. The truth is, today, Brian Cashman messed up. And I hate saying that because I really like Trent Grisham. Trent Grisham is a good player, right? And I heard Keith before, like, we're going to disagree on this one, Keith. I appreciate you hanging in and wanting to listen and get involved. But, like, we're going to disagree on this one that it doesn't hurt the New York Yankees. Because, yes, Trent Grisham is a good player. Trent Grisham had a great year last year for the New York Yankees. He was clutch. He hit big home run after big home run. And I don't even hold the postseason over him all that much. We have seen how many guys have bad postseasons. Like, I'm not going to... He was awful in the postseason. He killed them as a leadoff hitter. There's no doubt about that. I don't know if it's reverted back or whatever. He had a bad postseason. I can point to almost every guy you want to bring in here had a bad postseason at some time. We went over Kyle Tucker's numbers yesterday and his postseason history. I can give you every Yankee fan, every Yankee you love had a bad postseason. That's not necessarily about it either. So I like Trent Grisham. He had a great year, and I don't think it makes the Yankees a worse team just having Trent Grisham on it, but there is no way in hell that you can tell me that this Yankee offseason and trying to improve this Yankee team, that it benefits them to pay Trent Grisham $22 million. It hurts them. And without question, for whatever you think of Brian Cashman, and I know it's all negative for you, most of you, and all the trades, the trade deadline, the big money on big-time contracts that don't work out, then not playing in the ballpark for other big-time free agents, Freddie Freeman, Harper, Manny Machado, whoever your favorite, which one of those is your favorite, and there's plenty. Whether it's, you know, Josh Donaldson, there are tons of moves over the last handful of years. And obviously one championship since 2000 is not enough. And there's plenty of reasons to get on Brian Cashman. Even if I push back on some of them, there's plenty of reasons to get on Brian Cashman. Reading the market typically isn't one. This is usually, whether he wants to get involved in the market or not, he typically has a good feel for the market. He typically understands. And he completely whiffed on this. I don't care. And there's two distinct conversations about this. One, like, yes, is there a plan? Is there always a chance he takes it? Of course. Did the Yankees offer this qualifying offer without an idea of what they're going to do if he takes it, or there's not a plan in place? What happens if he takes it? Or there were, you know, discussions with Hal Steinbrenner on what happens if he takes it? Of course. So we'll see how it plays out before we go absolutely nuclear and go absolutely crazy and scream to the high heavens about how awful this team is. Let's see how it plays out. But there is no doubt in my mind Brian Cashman rolled the dice on getting a pick, assuming that Trent Grisham, off of the year he just had with the lockout looming, with reports out there that the Angels and the Pirates and, you know, teams that have sometimes, I know the Angels have spent money throughout the years, but like that some, that maybe teams inside this market right now with the uncertainty of moving forward are might be willing to spend some money. I am surprised Trent Grisham didn't turn down this offer and look for more guaranteed money. And I promise you, so are the Yankees. I don't want... Yes, of course they had a plan. Yes, of course they knew this was possible. But there is no way in hell that Brian Cashman, the New York Yankees, and specifically Hal Steinbrenner wanted this to happen. This was not the outcome the Yankees desired. They wanted him to turn it down. They wanted to get their picks, and they wanted to go about building this team. There is no doubt in my mind. This was a bad day for the New York Yankees. And again, I feel bad saying that because Trent Grisham is a good baseball player who helped them immensely last year, and maybe he's clicked, and maybe he'll give them another good year. But ultimately, at $22 million, and looking at this payroll already, right now, they are at 282, somewhere around there, between 282 and 286. It's always a little bit up in the air, depending on how you do it. But they've signed, you know, Tim Hill, Ryan Yarbrough, and now Trent Grisham. And that has eaten up almost all of the money up until that 300. They are out somewhere between 18 and 16, somewhere around there, or excuse me, 18 and $20 million left to underneath this 300. $300 million payroll. Like those three players, Ryan Yarbrough, Tim Hill, and Trent Grisham, that has already eaten up an enormous portion of where we expect the Yankees to go. And I said, I don't think that Hal Steinbrenner has this hard and fast rule of under 300. If that doesn't make any sense, because he went above it last year where they finished at 316. So, like, I think the reports of Joel Sherman are just based on the conversations that Hal has had throughout the years saying you don't need a $300 million payroll to build a championship team, not the idea that he's hard and fast, you know, has this absolute desire to get under $300 million. And right now, there is no question he's going over it. Otherwise, this is going to be one of the worst Yankee offseasons of all time because Cody Bellinger puts them over it. The next move, whatever they do, is putting them over $300 million, so you can forget that. The Yankees are going over $300 million. If Hal Steinbrenner had that hard and fast rule, they would have never made this qualifying offer because you couldn't take the risk of paying Trent Grisham $22 million if you were determined on getting under $300 million. That is out the window. And that's why, for me, from this moment on, we talk a lot about Hal. I talk a lot about Hal. And I think he gets too much flack. And I think he's called cheap too much when he's spending $300 million consistently. Yeah, there's a hole here, a gap here, where it would be nice to put a little bit extra money and fill it. And he doesn't. He doesn't go that last step to go all in and make us all happy. Granted, but he's not cheap. And it gets overblown. But now, without question, this is the offseason of Hal Steinbrenner because this qualifying offer has put the Yankees in a position where if they're going to go out and fix their holes, and they've been connected to everyone, I mean everyone, even Passan when he put out his final, you know, his major offseason article yesterday, has them connected to Tucker. We all know they want and desire to have Bellinger back. They obviously still need an arm or two at the minimum in the bullpen. They've been connected to the star Japanese pitcher that's coming out. They've been connected to both of the star the infield sluggers coming out of Japan, Murakami and Okamoto. Like, they've been connected to everyone. Now, does that mean they're actually in on everyone? No, but they've been connected to everyone. This offseason needed to be an offseason to improve a team that wasn't good enough. And they talked about trying to fill their holes. They still have a major hole at shortstop. As of right now, they don't have a left fielder. They're going to have three guys in the starting rotation start the year on the IL. No shortstop, really, to start the year, and I guess they're comfortable going with what they're comfortable with. No left fielder, as of right now, unless it's Jason Dominguez. at least another arm or two out of the bullpen they're in need of. And, I mean, obviously the starting rotation needs at least a pitcher, unless that's Ryan Yarbrough. So right now, this is without question. Brian Cashman has put Hal Steinbrenner in a situation where he has to spend. There is no doubt about it. And I remember Evan talking about, like, and different people talking about, well, the qualifying offer signifies that Hal is willing to spend, that there's money out there. You don't offer this without being willing to spend more money. Well, we're going to find out. Because as much as I will maybe tell you sometimes about this offense, and clearly looking at it, this is how the Yankees now feel. This is an offense that led the league in home runs, an offense that led the league in runs scored, an offense that led the league in OPS, an offense that, you know, was a dominant force throughout the regular season, but we know what happened in the postseason, and we know what the bottom of the order looks like. And you cannot just roll it back. You can't just roll out Anthony Volpe at shortstop. You can't just roll out a Ryan McMahon who didn't hit it all for the Yankees at third, making $16 million, and we'll get to how that's impacted them too. You can't just roll out the same outfield as good as it was last year. You can't roll out the same 6, 7, 8, 9. You would need leaps from so many people. You would need leaps from your catcher. You would need leaps from your shortstop. You would need a much better season from your third baseman. You need Jazz to have a healthy, complete season. You need Ben Rice to duplicate the hard hit rate with more actual success at first base. You need Trent Grisham to have the same type of year. That is so many ifs and needs to bring back the same team as last year. And I just don't, like, I don't get, and I'll be honest with you, I just talked about this yesterday, about my preference for Bellinger over Tucker. For me, this is where now I'm looking at Hal Steinbrenner and say, Hal, you're going over this final number. You're going over the luxury tax. And quite honestly, now the main reason I preferred Bellinger over Tucker is he was flexible and could play center field, assuming they wouldn't have one. But now they have one in Trent Grisham for this year. Now, for me, Kyle Tucker is more in play. I know everyone's reacting, well, now Kyle, you could forget Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker is now more in play because you could just throw him in left field. I think a lot's more in play now. I think you are looking at the certainty of trading at least one of Dominguez and Spencer Jones, if not both. I think now you're more confident. You could play Grisham in center field. Now you only need a left fielder. And now you're spending money anyway and going over that luxury tax probably at a good clip anyway. Now, for me, after this, Kyle Tucker is more in play for the New York Yankees. It makes more sense. You don't need his defensive flexibility as much. He's the better offensive player. You're going to have to spend money more than you want to anyway. Why not go get the better player? Worry about center field next year. Oh, it's still only a one-year deal with Trent Grisham. How much could it hurt you? Okay, well, then act like it's only a one-year deal, and then you play a defensive center fielder next year or 2 years from now if there is baseball next year. This is now the offseason of Hal Steinbrenner. Where is he willing to go payroll rise? Because this absolutely threw an absolute monkey wrench right into the middle of keeping this number respectable, keeping this number right at around where it was last year or right around $300 million. I don't know how you do that with $22 million to Trent Grisham. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you add the little bit of contact you need. I don't know how you add that extra starting pitcher. I don't know how you bring back Bellinger. I don't know how you improve the bottom of the order. I don't know how you add bullpen arms. I don't know how you do all of that, which is clearly what they need, while keeping it to a number that this owner, we all know, is comfortable with. And that number isn't necessarily $300 million, but it ain't much more than that. And at 285, at 282 to 286, whatever exact number it is, it's somewhere around there. Just bringing back Bellinger brings them to practically last year. Just bringing back Bellinger alone puts them at roughly the same number they were at last year. He made $25 million last year. He's probably going to get a pay raise in the open market now. You're looking at almost $30 million. They're already at 285. Like, That's it. They still have a lot more to do. So this is either going to be the offseason of Hal Steinbrenner and being willing to open up the pocketbook to levels we haven't seen him do in a while, or this is going to be the most creative trade market offseason Brian Cashman has ever pulled out of his hat of all time, or it's going to be extremely disappointing. Now, again, we'll get to why Trent Grisham took it. That's a different conversation. I'm surprised he did. And yeah, there is a difference, like, because I got so much pushback, at least a little bit on the Cashman defenders, if you could believe there are some out there, that they wouldn't have offered this if they didn't have a plan. Of course they have a plan. Is it a good one? And is it their first initial? Like, to me, without question, the Yankees are pissed today. And Brian Cashman misread this thing, and he knows it. He knows it. Because as good as Trent Grisham was last year, what is the likelihood that Trent Grisham, who, yes, should have played more 2 years ago and should have played over Verdugo at times and got a better look, and they talked about that heading into the offseason last year, and he got more of a look and had a great year. He was still hitting under 200 for a lot of, like, 2 years ago. Like, he had his top number was 17 prior to the 32 hit this year. Like, do we really expect Trent Grisham to have the same season? And even if he does, was that team good enough to win? The bottom of the order needs to be better. I was looking to add another infield bat. I'm looking to make trades to add to the outfield for contact purposes. Now there's too many outfielders. Trent Grisham being a part of this team makes it more difficult to field the kind of team that improves them contact-wise, improves them depth-wise, keeps the money somewhat in the ballpark of where this owner wants to keep it. There is no doubt about it. I don't care what anybody says. Good players on one-year deals are never a bad move. You just saw it. A good player who had a good year on a one-year deal, this is a bad contract. I understand the prevailing thought of one-year deals aren't bad. This is it. Unless Hal is going to go crazy. And for me, like I said before, this changes my mind on Tucker versus Bellinger. You want to spend money? Go spend money now, Hal. Go spend money. Go get the starting pitcher. Go get Tucker. Have 1 year chasing a championship with Judge before the lockout. You'll have Trent Grisham on a one-year deal. And then if you do all that next year, play Dominguez. Play Spencer Jones if you don't trade him. Or go get a cheap defensive center fielder. You can live with that. You can live with that. But there is no doubt that that was a devastating blow for me to what they can do, the options they have. I think now you're looking at trading either both or certainly one of Spencer and Dominguez, because you have to do something to bring bullpen arms in here. You have to do something to probably get another starting pitcher. You have to do something. You could trade from your pitching depth, but I think that would probably scare the Yankees, considering they're looking to add a starting pitcher, or, you know, add to that starting pitching depth, and they've traded away so many different starting pitchers prospects over the last handful of years. Like, this absolutely completely derails any opportunity of building a better, deeper, more contact offense and an overall deeper team while staying somewhere near the number that Hal Steinbrenner would feel comfortable. This is now the offseason of Hal. Will he spend? Because he's going way over that number if he wants to field a winning team. And this is what he's always said. To be fair to Hal, let's see how the season plays out. Let's see how the offseason plays out. He has always said that you shouldn't have to spend $300 million to build a championship-level team. Well, his general manager, and I'm curious to see how Hal feels about this, right? After years of thinking he can write his own contract and be here forever, Hal likes to say you don't need $300 million to build a championship-level team. His general manager just made that impossible for him. His general manager misreading this market, offering a qualifying offer and risking this just to get a draft pick, has made that statement impossible for the New York Yankees this season. Is Hal going to keep it to $300 million and say it's up to you, Cash, to figure this out? Or is he going to say, I have to spend if we want to win, and that's what needs to happen? We're going to find out whether Hal has a little bit of his father in him, or if Hal is going to just hold firm to his shareholders and, you know, the idea of how much money they're making, or worrying about the new CBA coming up. Or is he going to do what needs to be done? Because to be honest with you, they need another shortstop. They still need a left fielder. They need at least two bullpen arms. They need a starting pitcher to get them through the beginning of the season. That's a lot of things still needed with a little amount of room in the payroll he likes to keep. Brian Cashman just blew up the offseason for Hal Steinbrenner. Let's see how Hal responds. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Mets. The news about Pete and whether or not the Mets are firm in their beliefs on his value. Would the Mets be willing to move McNeil, clearly? Would they be willing to move Nimmo? As Jeff Passan put out a bunch of names, Nimmo, Vientos, Beatty, all possibly available for the New York Mets. We'll get to Cam Scataboo, who was the talk of the town yesterday, and I was under attack from the afternoon show for my take on it, which my take was it's bad optics. And I don't know if you listened to the fan all day, but yeah, it's bad optics.
The reason why I would prefer Kyle Tucker to Cody Bellinger. If Cody Bellinger's market continues to heat up, because you've heard so many teams connected to him, including the Mets, and all of a sudden Bellinger ends up with something far greater than maybe we could even project today on November 18th.
You mean an offer?
An offer.
Right.
And the negotiations, like a bidding war, if you will. I would feel much more comfortable giving Kyle Tucker the mega contract than Cody Bellinger, just based on their history.
Yeah.
He's a guy in Cody Bellinger who wasn't that long ago was benched because he couldn't hit. Like, it wasn't that long ago that he was a 165 hitter for the Dodgers. So, I guess in the back of my mind, I still think about that. I know, as a Yankee fan, you think of just this past year. And there's nothing negative about this past year. He basically went out and played every day. He had a really good year. Almost drove in 100 runs at 30 home runs almost. Had a really productive year. But you got to look at his whole career. And if you're getting in a bed on a seven-year deal, you have to look at one's whole career even more.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to project what they're going to do.
Yeah, I think a lot of this is going to be what the deal looks like. And whether the short-term viability and upside versus the long-term viability and upside. Because these guys don't want short deals. And it's hard to blame them. But ultimately, because Cody was one of those guys a few years ago that kind of got left in the cold, right?
Yes.
Ended up not signing, had to do... And I don't want to say a team-friendly, but a team-friendly deal just to get somewhere.
Yeah, he did a three-year deal with a bunch of opt-outs.
Yes, exactly. And that's, he doesn't want to do that.
No, again. He wants his payday.
Yes.
I don't blame him for that. But if I have to decide between a bigger payday for Kyle Tucker versus a big payday for Cody Bellinger, I'm always going to side with the better player. And I'm telling you, I say this because I've learned my lesson. I call myself out for this. All the way back in 2018, we were having a discussion about Manny Machado being a trade target and eventually a free agent. And at the time, the Yankees had a pretty good shortstop named Didi Gregorius. And clearly, Manny Machado was better, but the emotion of what Didi had been doing for the Yankees led Yankee fans and even myself as an IBO to be like, you know what, Manny's better, but I'm not screwing around. I want to stick with Didi.
I want the chemistry, the glue guy.
Yeah.
Doesn't always work.
No, and I
sometimes it does, though.
Sometimes, but I think sometimes it's got to be simple. And the simple answer is, who's better? It's like the old question at the bar. Who's a better player? And Kyle Tucker's a better player. So I would just side with that.
I just think, I know where you're going with that comp. I think it's a little unfair to compare Didi Gregorius to Cody Bellinger, based on his career, based on everything he did last year. I get that it's a heartstrings thing with Yankee fans, but they're not even the same stratosphere as a player.
I don't think the heartstrings are there for that, like that for Cody, though.
I think there are. I think Yankee fans got won over by him, but I think Evan's point is fan favorite, loosen. Like, Didi Gregorius is not the same player. Cody Bellinger's a legitimate all-star caliber player.
I'll give you this, because again, no comp is perfect. So anytime I make a comparison, of course, you can find differences. There's no perfect comparison. Yes, Cody Bellinger is closer to Kyle Tucker than Didi Gregorius was to Manny Machado.
Yes.
But there was still those emotional intangibles, like the things you can't describe, that made Yankee fans believe they were better off sticking with Didi Gregorius.
Right. No, it's like Pete Alonso and Vlad Guerrero Jr. Vlad's the better player, but you Met fans won the game.
Not true, though. If you look at the last 3 years and compare the numbers, Alonso was superior. He actually was.
I'm proud of you.
No, you try to tie at heartstrings. I give you the facts. I had this fight with Met fans last year. Now, I think what's altered that is that Vlad had such a big playoff that Met fans, I don't know if Met fans anymore because Vlad signed long term, but they would look at that and say, see, this is why you won Vlad. But no, if you look at the numbers over the last 3 or 4 years, I'd actually argue Pete was far superior. Do me a favor. When you try to throw a Met thing in there, you're going to cause me to go off the rails and start arguing.
Evan, with you. I threw a dodgeball and you caught it. I'm out.
But it was a heartstring thing.
It was. I wanted to see how he reacted.
It's a good one. That was subtle. That was good.
It was a nice try. We'll get to the Cam Scottaboo situation coming up. We broke this down yesterday, and then it happened. And to hear everyone's overreactions has only brought smiles to my face. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. And coming up this segment, I promise, in the next 15 minutes, I will explain why trading Brandon Nimmo won't happen, and it's stupid. 888-808-1019, the number. Derek is in Staten Island. What's up, Derek?
Hey, Evan Tiki, how you the guys doing?
All's good.
Good, man.
Before, Evan, I need to disagree with you, but before I do, I just want to be clear on three things. Number one, I was on the Tucker train after Soto.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I agree with Sean. I'd love to get both, but those Yankees are long gone. Now we have the Hal Yankees. And number three, Tucker is a far superior hitter than Bellinger. That's not even close. You can't compare it. That being said, after watching Cody Bellinger for 162 games, he's not a good defender. He's not a great defender. That guy is an elite defender at all three outfield spots. You can put him anywhere, and he plays tremendous defense. I don't know if Tucker's going to be a great left fielder. I've never seen him do it. And Cody Bellinger can play first base.
Right.
Now, I do agree with you in a sense if the money's going to be close, I would pivot toward Tucker. Where I disagree with you is when we compare players, everybody looks at the offense and the numbers. I mean, listen, if you watch Cody Bellinger, there aren't many outfielders in baseball that could compare to him. He is that good.
All right, so then, to your point, stick with the defense. Not going to bore you with offensive numbers. Kyle Tucker has been asked for the last 5 years to play one position. That's it. And by the way, that usually happens with really good baseball players. They're not asked to play five different positions or four different positions. In being asked to play right field,
but now
you're
making that sound like it's a negative.
No, I'm about to defend Kyle Tucker. He's played the same position for 5 years, and he's been really good at it. He won a Gold Glove a couple of years ago. So he's really good at right field. Saying, well, he doesn't play center, and he doesn't play left, and he doesn't play first, he hasn't been asked to. So do I assume Kyle Tucker could easily play center field? No, I can't assume that. But I also don't think it's a negative on Tucker that he's played one position for the last 5 years and has done it really, really well. Now, early in his career, he did play some left field. It was early in his career. It wasn't a lot. I can't tell you how good he was. I'm going to assume if you're playing a Gold Glove right field, you can also play a Gold Glove left field.
Well, it's like Aaron Judge. You know he's a really good right fielder, but you throw him in center, you know he's a pretty good center fielder as well.
Until game five of the World Series.
Yeah, he dropped one ball.
Well, I mean,
he built 1,000 bridges.
It's kind of a big ball. So I agree that Bellinger provides more versatility. No one can argue that. But it's not like we're talking, sorry, Tommy, about Juan Soto in right field here. Kyle Tucker is a Gold Glove caliber right fielder. So it's not as if he's some kind of negative defensively.
Right.
He just doesn't have the same resume of playing so many different positions. And I just don't think, while that's nice, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Because I think eventually you want Spencer Jones or Jason Dominguez to play one position. You're hoping Ben Rice is the first baseman. And so you're hoping that Cody Bellinger over the next 5 years literally only plays one position. You're signing him now with an eye on he can play numerous positions, but 4 years from now, don't you think we're probably looking at Bellinger settling in at one position?
Yeah, and also what coincides with 4 years from now, we know Giancarlo Stanton will be gone, freeing up the DH position. We'll see about first base and moving Judge around too as well at that point.
Exactly. And that just argued Kyle Tucker for me. Thank you.
I'm with Tucker. I'm telling you. I'm with both.
We're not anti Kyle Tucker. I think that's what you're hearing. That's not what we're saying. We also understand it's complicated. It's complicated because he wants an 11-year deal, and it's complicated because there could be alternatives that are just easier to get done.
You know what's it's just refreshing for once in our sports argument life to not have to sit here and go, it's got to be this or it's got to be that.
Yeah.
How awesome is this to go, give me either. I'm good. And I think that's awesome.
That's true.
Let's go to Rashad in the Bronx. What's up, Rashad?
Hey, good afternoon, Tiki.
What's up?
All right, so before I get to my point, I'm going to say I'm for Kyle Tucker, easily Kyle Tucker. But this posed a question for me, and I think Tommy just mentioned it too. When we do have, if we do sign Kyle Tucker, where are we going to move Judge to? Because Stan is still clocking up the DH spot.
Yep.
And we're going to sign for an 11-year deal. Eventually, we don't want Judge playing center field. He's 34 years old. We got to preserve him as much as possible.
I think the answer, so here's how I would answer that. I would, in all likelihood, move Kyle Tucker to left field. But I'd have a conversation with Aaron Judge. Yeah. I'd say, look, are you comfortable moving to left field? Because I think both guys.
Or first base.
I don't think they're going to do that. I think that's a down-the-road situation. Like, if Ben Rice fails at first base and he doesn't turn into the player we expect, that maybe you can do that. I think in the short term, you have a conversation with both guys based on comfort. This isn't an A-Rod Jeter situation. Because I don't think Aaron Judge cares. Like, I think Aaron Judge would gladly play left field. The guy played center field, like
Has he played left field?
Yes.
Just not frequently, a lot.
No. But he played it last year. Like, there were certain days where they would actually flip him into left field. So he's done. I'll give you the exact number in a second. But I don't think it's that complicated. I think you've got two Gold Glove caliber right fielders, and basically you pick one of them to play left field, and they're probably going to play it at a high level. Aaron Judge played 5 games in left field in 2024, and that's it. So he only has 5 games of experience, 225 in center, 719 in right. But do you honestly think, like, him playing left field would be any kind of issue?
Not really, because he's a good athlete, and he's good eyesight, so to speak.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.